And are you guys, I know some of you are on your phone and some of you are on the computer. Thanks, David. That looks like an extensive book. You're frozen on my screen. So anyways, guys are in the, if you're on your computer, you can jump in the chat. Peter just entered it. You find that chat in Activity 5. Otherwise, I can also use the chat on the computer. I can just double up the questions in there. So welcome to our second conference call for RPE 102. I'd like to acknowledge, well, that's Evaluation and Recreation. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Ton Kwashin Council. And it feels like winter outside again today, so maybe by the end of March we'll have spring. Last week, what we did in this learning event is we explored some of the whys, the whats, the whens, the whos, all related to evaluation. So for those of you who weren't able to join us last week, you might want to listen to the call and just catch up on that if you haven't had a chance to do so already. It is recorded, and you can get there by clicking the link in activity number 2. We also talked about the role of an evaluator and how an evaluation can be influenced by our different experiences and perspectives. So this week, we're going to start looking at creating evaluation plans. And this is the bulk of this learning event. This learning event last week was gradual up. Week 2 and week 3 are going to be pretty intensive, and then week 4 we post down again. So I tried to make it so it's not like crazy intensive every single week. But this evaluation planning piece is something that you will be very helpful for you when you're responsible for significant program services. Also, if you are doing bigger funding applications, like proposals that are worth, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 or more, they often look for evaluation plans as well. So really helpful to understand how to do one. So I just want to read something to you, and then we're going to jump into sort of your thoughts and introductions. So one of the links I shared this week was to NWT's On the Land Collaborative. I think Stephanie is familiar with it, but those of you in the Yukon, it's worth looking at On the Land Collaborative. It's an amazing organization, and they have a really good section on evaluation. So they explain that evaluation is something that we do every day. It's part of the decision-making process we use when we choose how we're going to dress for the day, or what we're going to eat for dinner, or make a plan to go on a holiday. Program evaluation builds on those everyday skills, and it helps us to better understand the programs we're offering. So here's a key word. Program evaluation is a systematic and intentional process of collecting, gathering information about a program in order to plan, make decisions, improve our programs, and report. So that's just a great intro for our call today. So when you create an evaluation plan, you're making sure that you're using a systematic approach and an intentional approach, because you're focusing on getting the information that you need for what you're going to do with it. So before we jump too far into starting to look at evaluation plans, I just want to do a quick 10-second each introduction. And as you introduce yourselves, I think you all sort of know each other. So just, hi, I'm so-and-so from this community. But I just want you to share with us in 10 seconds or less a program or a service or something that you're thinking about evaluating. So 10 seconds or less, because then we're going to use that for the rest of the call. So we'll go in the order you joined the call. So that means Ian first, then David, then Stephanie, and then Peter. So over to you, Deanne, and if you don't have something you've thought of evaluating yet, you can just say, haven't got to that point yet.
So my name is Deanne. I'm from Squash Yukon, and I would like to evaluate the squash course in Better Bodies.
Squash, did you say quartz?
Yeah.
So to determine if there's anything that needs improving, any maintenance, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so when I say evaluation of the squash course, so basically I mean the size of the code as per the standard of the World Squash Federation, like how many courts to be required to organize a PSA, a professional squash tournament, or world world level tournament. Yeah. I mean, the
So sort of like a facility evaluation is what you're doing.
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. That's a really good, important thing. It's almost like an assessment, but an evaluation is a good way of doing it because you'll come up with something at the end that will help you plan for the future and make decisions. So great. Thanks for sharing that. Over to you, David. I know I just said your name, so maybe you don't need to say it. But in 10 seconds or less, what are you thinking of evaluating?
Hi, my name is Yeti, and I'm the program coordinator for Elder Active. The program that I'm going to evaluate is the snowshoeing program.
Excellent. Thank you.
The reason for selecting that one is it gives us the greatest diversity of locations, weather, various elements to evaluate.
That's great, thanks. And, you know, different ways of looking at how you can evaluate or whether it's process or outcomes or both, too. So thank you. Stephanie, how about yourself? What are you thinking of evaluating?
Hi, my name is Stephanie Kapia. I live in Enterprise. I have so many things on the go right now. I can evaluate one of 15 things right now. And I guess my biggest problem is trying to manage my time management with all the things that requires attention. And right now I should be evaluating myself. How I would be able to do my job better and how I can do it more efficiently. So I would say I think I'm going to be my new project is evaluating my own time management and how I would be able to be a better wellness coordinator, recreation coordinator, and also be a student, can't forget the course, and be functional. And I'm still a mom, and I'm still a volunteer firefighter, so I still have those things on the go. So I am my next project.
Okay, well, if I can make a suggestion, why don't you have a look at the job description and evaluate that role instead of yourself, because that might be a really useful thing in your community, because the wellness coordinator / recreation coordinator is a new addition to that role, and it might be useful to see if maybe there's too much in there. So that would be something that could be helpful to come to a conclusion. So if you want to tackle that, maybe tackle it from the job description perspective rather than from you as a person.
And that actually would be a good thing because I'm pretty sure my evaluation is coming up in the next little while, or I'll force an evaluation. just because I believe that I can do a lot more better. However, in order to do a lot better, I need to communicate with my colleagues and my coworkers that this is something that is on my mind, and I'm pretty sure if I communicate that, I will get a lot of help.
Awesome. Okay, well, we'll see where you get to with that. So that sounds like a big thing to look at, but maybe very valuable. So thanks, Stephanie. And over to you, Peter.
Thank you. I would like to review and evaluate the Real Leader program that we offer at Recreation Park Association, UConn. I think that while I really like the program, it would be good to have a bit more accountability to the Real Leaders and get a bit more participant feedback and just sort of even just evaluating the process of applying to making it easier and more clear. Yeah.
Yeah, so you might want to look at more of a process evaluation. You know, we already kind of know the outcomes from the Real Leader program, right? So you may want to look at the processes of how it's delivered and how you might be able to reach different populations and things like that. So That would be yeah. really useful, is to think of it as a process evaluation rather than an outcomes one.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so now we all kind of know where you're looking or what you're thinking of for an evaluation. So if you happen to have pen and paper or a computer handy, I'm going to be asking you some questions that might help you start your evaluation plan and also work on this week's required learning activity. So think about and make some notes during the call if you can. As you may know then, good evaluation requires good planning. So if you don't do a good plan, it's pretty hard to do a good evaluation. So one mistake that people sometimes make, and I know I mentioned this last week, but I'm just going to reiterate it, is that sometimes we collect random data and then we try and figure out what to do with it. So that's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. Don't let data determine your questions. Identify the questions that you need to ask and then figure out how you get the information to answer them. So do it a little bit differently rather than just thinking, okay, I got to collect feedback from my participants. Yeah, so what are you going to do with it, right? So think of the purpose, think of the questions that you need answered, and then figure out how to get that information. That might be a different way of thinking of it. So if you have the slides open in front of you, and you can flip to slides 20 and 21, these two explain to you that good evaluation has to be useful. It has to be useful for you, and also for your stakeholders who are participating or benefiting from your evaluation. A good evaluation also has to be feasible or doable based on what you want to evaluate, your community context and the resources you have available. So Stephanie, our conversation that we just had about maybe rather than evaluating yourself, evaluate that position, that's putting it into a bit more feasible, doable sort of context. Because that is a useful piece of information that even if 10 years down the road you're not in that position, it might be useful for the next person who comes into that position. Or as your SAO starts to plan and look at changes or things like that. So try and keep in mind that evaluation has to be useful, feasible, doable, and it should also be accurate. It needs to have some objectivity to it and follow accepted practices. The last thing that a good evaluation needs to be is it needs to be ethical. And what that means is it's fair and it's respectful to your participants and to anyone who's involved. So Stephanie, I'm just going to use the example of you again. If you're evaluating yourself and then you're sharing it with other people, like your SAO, you're sort of putting yourself out there. So it might not be as respectful as flipping it around and evaluating the position and concluding, there's 60 hours of work a week here, and I only have 37 and a half hours allocated. So that's you just want to make sure it's respectful if you're evaluating something you're involved with and also the people who are involved with it. So hopefully that makes sense. Keep that in mind. Doable is a really big one. We often try and do way more than what we think, like because we're ambitious, right? And we know that it's important. So sometimes narrowing the scope is better because you get richer information. On slide 22, there's a really good overview of the process. So what it shows you is that we start with focusing our evaluation, and I'll talk about what that means in just a moment. And then from the focus, we look at our design, which if you read evaluation literature, you might see the word methodology or method. That simply means the design that you use to do something. And then a really important thing about evaluation and in your plan, you need to identify how you're going to use what you learned, because it's completely meaningless to do an evaluation if you can't use that information. So if you think of evaluation planning and the process of evaluation happening in just these three steps, I think that that will really help, because if you take other courses on evaluation, it gets pretty complicated. So I've tried to package it into three steps for you. So planning an evaluation, as if you look at slide 23,
It begins with a good focus on what you want to accomplish with your program or project and how you'll do it. So slide 23 suggests that you begin with this clear understanding of logic. And I think, Stephanie, you would have done RP 101 Plan for Success. That's the next learning event coming up for Gian and David and Peter. But it has logic models in it, so you'll see that again coming up. But really, if you think of logic, logic simply means if we do this, then we expect this to happen. So it's the if we do this is the process, and we expect this to happen is about your results and outcomes. So if you get bogged down in logic models, which I know they can be really overwhelming sometimes, just think, if I do this, then I expect this to happen. And that's what we're looking at. So, Peter, your theory for real leaders might be, if I change the application process or if I do this, then I would expect to get more real leader applications. I might expect real leader applications from communities that don't participate. So you have to figure out what that logic is. You might also see that being called like a theory of change. But it's the same sort of an idea. It's the logical thinking behind, if I do this, then this will happen. So if you flip to slide 24, you can see that logic lets you direct your evaluation to either process, like what Peter was talking about, or I think outcomes, which is what you're talking about, David. I think yours is a little different because it's a facility evaluation, but you would definitely have some output from that, some things that you would, and it would be a report that you could use for making decisions. Hopefully that makes sense when you think about that. You want to take your evaluation plan and you want to look at process or outcomes, and in some cases, if it's a really big evaluation, we'll look at both. But I would suggest for the purposes of this learning event, you focus on just one of those. So the next thing that you do, and this is shown on slide 25, is you start to focus your evaluation through a purpose or a goal. And so we just did a research project in the Yukon using COVID recovery research funding. And our purpose was to understand the impacts of the pandemic on recreation patterns and preferences in rural Yukon and strategies for moving beyond that, like going into the future. So that was our purpose. That's what we wanted to find out. There's other examples shown on slide 25. So here's an outcomes one. The evaluation will identify personal and social benefits experienced by program participants. David, maybe that's kind of like what you're thinking, right? So there's different ways that you can frame your purpose. One other thing I told you last week that I'm going to tell you again is Albert Einstein once said, everything that can be counted does not necessarily count, and everything that counts cannot necessarily be counted. So I know I'm going to sound like a broken record by the end, but make sure you keep your evaluation focused. Don't make it too big because then you lose some of that purpose behind it. So I'm going to ask you to jump in here. I'm going to ask you to think about the evaluation that you just told me that you wanted to do. And I want you to think about what's the most important aspect to focus on. Is it that you want to find out what is or is not working in your program? Do you want to be able to share with others some of the benefits or impacts of your program or what went well? Or do you need to demonstrate to your funders that your program has been doing what you said it would be doing and what you were funded to do? So think about that for a minute. I'm going to pop a question in both chats. And Deanne, I'm going to put you on the spot again and put you first this time, and then David, I'll put you first for the next question. So here's my question for you. What is the purpose or goal for the evaluation you just explained you wanted to do? So you can fumble around in this because it takes me a while to really frame nicely a purpose or a goal. But, Ian, give it a shot. See if you can think of a purpose or goal for your facility. I'm going to call it a facility evaluation.
So basically, why I'm doing this evaluation is we are willing to have another squash court, and we want to make our point very clear, like this, the court what we are having right now, it's not feasible or it's not applicable with the standards, right? To organize a world-class event, definitely we needed something with the rules and regulation and a specific number of courts in here. So evaluation is, our evaluation is more about getting new facility. So it's like,
so you're making a case, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a good reason for an evaluation. I would call that maybe like a needs assessment, that type of evaluation. So you're assessing the deficiencies or the things that you don't have, and you're assessing what you do have, and you're positioning that so you can lobby or advocate or get something.
Yeah, like so we were in talk about organizing the Canada Winter Games, right? And in 2027, we were in talk, like we missed that part. But the question was, is it our court for, can we do a national event? So that's what we I need to see into. Yeah. So there's some problem in the courts also, like the we have three courts here. In one court, the wall is really, it's not like 90 degrees, it's supposed to be 90 degrees. It's like a bit inside, like the angle is not correct, you know, the front wall, so all this, it's a bit curvy, the front wall, so it's not, nobody likes to play, I mean, at the top level, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good purpose, is to assess the state of your facility for squash and to determine what you would need to do to be able to host a national event. And so that's a really good, clear purpose. Awesome, thanks. Let's go to you, David. What's the purpose or goal for evaluating your snowshoeing program?
The purpose is to identify strengths and weaknesses in program delivery and location choices. The goal is to increase program flexibility across fitness and sociability within our funders' requirements.
Okay, so two different things. When you say the word delivery of your program, I think it's process type thing, right? And can you just
talk to
the one about funders again, just so that I understand what you're
aiming for? The goal is to increase program flexibility across fitness and sociability within our funders' requirements. Our funders are asking for...
Sorry, that's a big sentence.
I know. Our funders are asking us to meet two objectives, and their objectives are, one, to increase the scope of participants. In other words, they want the firm and the infirm, just to make it differentiated, right? And to increase the sociability. In other words, they want to see that our programs are bringing people out of their cubbyholes, even if it's just to socialize. So they want to see it in two avenues, and those are objectives that we have to meet for our funders.
Okay, that makes sense to me now. And both of those are about process. They're not about outcomes, although your outcomes would be, you know, because we have more diverse people have better connections, blah, blah, blah. You're not looking at what has happened as a result of that. You're looking at, how can we do this more broadly? How can we do this better? So when you ask, how can we do, that is a process type of evaluation. And
right.
So that's similar to what Peter, I think, is talking about as well. So what I'd like you to try and do, that's a really long sort of purpose slash goal, and you can call it either or. It doesn't really, I don't care if you use the word purpose or the word goal, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But try and frame that for this week's RLA. Try and frame that in some language that's really clear and logical, and that's about how can you do this? Because I think that's what you're after. The funders have asked you to do something differently, to broaden it. Yeah. Because the processes if we're advertising on Facebook and the people that we want to come don't use Facebook, then we're advertising in the wrong places. So that's a process. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm nodding. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. Okay, Stephanie, let's move to you and let's try yours. What would be a goal or a purpose for evaluating, let's say, the wellness/recreation coordinator position?
I would say the goal and purpose for my self-evaluation with my job would be, well, number one, not to burn out, because that's ultimately, like, I do not want to burn out. However, I do want to maintain and improve the programming and the accessibility of our programming to the residents and how to help the residents improve their social well-being, mental well-being, emotional and physical well-being, and myself not burning out in that. So I want to meet up with my personal goal of taking care of myself, my own family, however, also taking care to have all of these things available to the residents and be inclusive to them and help educate them. And, I do care about a lot of, like, everybody in this community. Like, they're my family. That's how I treat them. And I guess I don't want to burn out, and I have to figure out another way to structure my time management in order to get all of these things done, and I feel good about it. And I don't want to burn out and walk away and say, you know what, I give up, because I won't give up. And the best thing for me to do right now is to assess my job description and do a kind of like a look at the different options that I'd be able to approach how I do my job and the different outcomes that I can get, possibly, theoretically get out of each option. And which one would be time-saving, energy-saving. And I know two of the biggest things for me that I have been working on, and I'm getting better at it, is delegating and saying no to certain some things, prioritizing the things that I need to get done. And there are some things that is not high on my priority list, and so I'm starting to get rid of releasing some of the weight of the things that I need to get done.
I think what you're explaining is there's a number of different things in there. For this learning event, why don't you just focus on determining, well, a bit of an assessment, the scope of the job description, and is it manageable as a full-time position, or is there too much in it? And then you could also, if you really needed to, ask the other question, if there's too much in it, which are the most valuable activities to keep? Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys who are listening, if you have any suggestions for Stephanie, because this is where evaluation goes. We start with these sort of big, broad kind of pictures, and we want to try and focus it a little bit. So I'm just inviting the rest of you to pop any suggestions in the chat for Stephanie, like things that she might want to think about. Does it feel like it's more a process-type thing, or is it more of an output, like what Deanne's getting to? So, yeah, you have a report, you have something concrete, and then you can move forward with it from there. What does it feel like? So if you have any thoughts for Stephanie, because this is quite broad, pop them in the chat. And so, Stephanie, maybe just think about, you know, twofold purpose. One is to look at everything that's involved in the job description in order to determine, is it the right amount of work for a full-time position, or is it too much? So that would be part of it. And the second part would be, if it's too much, which are the most important activities to keep? Because what you're describing is what happens in every small community in recreation and wellness, is the whole community turns to the person who is doing that, and everything kind of gets dumped on you, and people burn out, and then we don't get to the outcomes that we want because we burn out before we can really support our community. And so it's really important to have those boundaries. So thanks. Jot those things down, and if anyone else has anything else to share, send them to in a private chat to Stephanie, or and send things to each other too. Like if you like what somebody has said, let them know. So Peter, over to you. Same question. What's the purpose or goal for your evaluation?
Well, before I had said kind of two separate things, like one being holding more, having more accountability for real leader programs, but ultimately that's just sort of trying to create quality programming or ensure that there is quality programming. So that would probably be the more important outcome than than at the moment, rather than just looking to see if the application process is easier. I did say like that's more important.
So maybe the goal then of your evaluation would be to improve the quality of program. So it's kind of improving the activities and the outputs that are going on, not so much looking at the outcomes, because we know that when we have recreation programming, we have good outcomes, right? So a little bit more, how could you improve it? So that would be a question in order to improve the quality overall of the program.
Yeah.
And the logic there would be, if you improve the quality of the program, you will get better outcomes. So that's your logic, right? But you don't have to look at the outcome. You're going to start with, if I improve the quality of the program, I should get better outcomes. And then, you know, you improve the program, and 2 or 3 years down the road, you look at the outcome. And I think that's similar for David, too. Awesome. Okay, well, thanks. Okay, so once you've identified, I think each of you have a little bit, like, this is really good because this is what you have to do for your required learning activity, which is why I wanted to do it on the call. So hopefully it's helping. Once you've identified your purpose, a goal for your evaluation, you have to develop questions. And this can take a fair amount of time. So if you go to slides 25 and 26, oh, 25, sorry. You're not identifying the questions like, did people enjoy participating in the program? Like, that is, well, maybe you could, but what you have to do is, last week we talked about like feedback forms. This is not like a little feedback form. This is a big open-ended question. So one of our questions for our research project was, what were the impacts of the pandemic on people's recreation in rural communities? Big question, right? So we're looking, key questions are those big overall questions. And so you go from your purpose, and all I want you to do is think of two, a maximum of three. Like a big evaluation might only have three key questions, and then those questions can be broken down further into sub-questions. So you have to really ask yourself, what do I want to find out? So, you know, for David, maybe one of the questions that you want to find out is, do you want to find out how you could increase the sociability of your program? That might be a really, that could be one of your key questions, because then how to do that would go to your process and your purpose, which is to improve that or increase it. I don't know if that makes sense or not. This is the area that people think you can sort of rush through, but actually you can't. So, David, I'm going to put you on the spot first, and I'm just keeping in mind and being mindful of time. I warned you last time. I'll put Stephanie on the spot next time around. So what I'm going to ask you is just, what is one question that you might be able to ask? So what is one key question? Thinking of what you said your purpose is, what is one key question you could ask? And you can even have one of the questions that's on the slide here as your key question. Who uses the program? Might be a really good, really good question, because how can you change who uses it if you don't know who's using it, right? So just an example. But David, what's one question that you think you might ask for this evaluation?
What program would you like to see Elder Active include in their offering?
Okay, so, and this relates to the snowshoe program?
No, not necessarily. Oh, are we saying just to the snowshoe or overall?
If your evaluation is on the snowshoe program, what is the key question to help you evaluate your snowshoe program?
Do you have other preferred areas we should include?
Okay, so I'm just going to use that example. So who is David asking that question of? Can you guys just jump in and tell me, or pop it in the chat?
Well, I know who I'm asking it of.
Okay, tell us, who are you asking it?
I'm asking it of the current participants.
Yeah, I want you to ask the question to yourself. So the questions to your participants are questions that would come up in your feedback form or your survey or something like this.
Right.
This is a question to drive your evaluation. So our question, what were the main impacts of the pandemic on recreation in rural Yukon? People don't know how to answer that. That's a really big, big question. We had a bunch of sub-questions.
Are you on what slide are you on that indicates that?
That's an example of some work I just did, so it's not in the slide.
Oh, okay.
But I'm looking at slide 26. So I'm looking at slide 26. Okay, there's a really good link, how to write good evaluation questions. So I want you to think of these. So what's a question you might ask yourself? You told me that you want to evaluate your snowshoe program because you want to look at if you can expand the delivery to include more groups. So what might you need to ask yourself?
Ask ourselves, did we meet our targeted goal, i.e. 70% participation level, right? Or did we meet our financial objectives? Those type of questions. In other words, did we meet our goals, objectives?
Yeah. And then your sub-questions under that, like if you answer no to something, you might want to know, what do we need to do differently? How do we reach the people we're not reaching? Like, that's still a broad question, right? If the people who we think should be participating aren't participating, how do we reach them? So questions like that, so think of this as really kind of big framing questions. It's like the foundational beams of a house. It's not what color am I painting the wall. It's what size beam do I need to hold this structure up? Does that make sense? Kind of?
Yeah, I'm going through that right now with building my trusses for my greenhouse.
Good. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Good. Thank you. I've got that down. Thank you.
Stephanie, can you think of one question that you might want to ask that's a broad question?
I would ask the regular participants in the programs that are running now, because sometimes there's only like one or two people that show up to one program that is a competent, or the same volunteers that help out with the same events and activities. I think what I would like to ask them is, what will they be willing to give up, like give up a certain program so then another program could run even better and bigger and for longer periods, or twice a week instead of once, or twice a month instead of once? So what grams are, like, let's say I go to volleyball and then I go to knitting and then I go to swimming. But then the person who is running all these programs is like, you know what? Which one of these are you willing to give up so the other two programs will run better? And you know what? I really like swimming, I like volleyball, and I like knitting. But two of them are physically active, so maybe I could give up one of them so then I could still have my sitting, relaxing time, and still have my physical activity. So I think that's a question that I would ask around that, like along that line.
Yeah, so first of all, for you, you might want to ask, you know, what is the scope of this job description? And then the second part that you might ask is, what are the priority programs? So you probably ask that for yourself first. What are the priority programs? And then you would figure out, you might, like, you don't have to ask participants. You can look at participation rates. You can look at all sorts. There's lots of different ways to answer that question, and we'll look at that in a minute. But I would make it simpler and just say, what are the priority programs in our community? Okay, and then you match that against your job description about how much time there is. So just keep it nice and simple and broad to start with. Peter, what's one question that you might ask?
How do participants feel about a program or how they feel about an instructor? That's kind of the first one to come
to mind. Okay, so that's a really specific question. Can you go bigger? Why do you want to ask that question? I'm not saying it's a bad question. I'm just asking you why. Like, let's take it bigger than that.
I guess if we're trying to establish accountability and quality programming, you kind of want to get the feedback of participants. So you could even just ask how they felt about the program. Is that too specific?
Yeah. So you're not looking at what the participants are thinking. You're looking at how you can improve the quality. And because you're an expert in the area of recreation and because RPE is, you should know some of the things that tell you if it's a quality program or not. So, for example, archery that has X number of participants has been running for X length of time, gets people of all different ages out, happens during the winter when people are sort of housebound. I would call that a quality program. So I don't know if you need to go and ask people necessarily. Maybe you could find that information out in other ways to start with. But you're right. You might need to identify what you mean by quality program. And that would be a really good thing to be able to explain to a funder. For us, a quality program means X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So it could be, how do we define quality in our Real Leader program? What does quality look like? Like, what do we mean by a quality program?
I see. Yeah, I know that makes sense. That gives me a few ideas.
So just go bigger. Like, I'm just challenging you guys to think big here. So, Deanne, over to you. What is one question that you could ask for your evaluation?
So what I'm thinking about before proceeding further with the evaluation process or evaluation, I will look for the risk factor. What could be the risk factor when I'm going to do evaluation of the case study? And like, shall I take permission from the owner? So that kind of thing I'm thinking about the one question.
Okay, so if you're going to evaluate the facility, what you're saying is it might be risky because the owner might take it the wrong way?
Exactly, yeah. Like, we are renting the place here and we want to do something bigger. So before moving forward, I definitely, or I don't know, like, I can do by myself, or I need to take permission, proper permission, going through the board and all this. Like, we don't want to make the thing worse, right, where we are right now.
Yeah, so that might not be an evaluation question, but it might be a consideration in your evaluation for sure. So a question for you might be as simple as, what are the requirements to host a national event? Like, it could be that straightforward.
Okay. So the question could be like the number of courts, the lighting capacity, referees or like the event organizer's office or something. Yeah, so that could be the questions or not.
Yeah, so your two questions for your evaluation might be, what is needed to run a national event? And the other one would be, do we have what we need?
Yep.
As far as facility. And you're exactly right. Like, we talked last week about the context, and considering the owner's reactions might be the context, right? So you have to approach evaluation in a respectful way. So definitely that would be a consideration. But it might not be a question, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Awesome.
And,
go ahead.
Let's say we're going to go for the questionnaire or something, right? Asking them, like, the users, what do you feel about the current facilities and the services we are having? So it might affect also the owners, you know, the opinion about us, like, why the hell we are going and asking people, like, what is the facility, And the questions, like, is it like the positive questions or like the negative questions? Like, we don't have this facility, we don't have that facility, you know? So.
Yeah, you'll get to that in the tools, and we'll get to those, like, smaller questions. So each time you guys have shared something that's a small question, that'll come out in your tools of how you do your evaluation, and we'll talk about that next week. So right now, this week, I'm just looking for the two, maybe at the most three big questions that will help you meet that purpose that you set for your evaluation or meet your evaluation goal. So, Deanne, if your goal is to understand if your facility is adequate, then the big questions might be, what do we need for to run a national event, and do we have it? So what's the state of the current facilities? It probably doesn't factor in quite so much as to what people want, because they might want something that you don't need for a national thing. So if you're going to look at what you want for a facility, that's a different purpose. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm just looking at the time. I got one more thing that I just wanted to sort of, if you guys need to go right on the hour, just feel free to hang up. But I think this is really important conversation, and I think this will really help you do your required learning activity this week. So bear with me, but if you need to leave, I totally understand. I don't like going over time. Sorry. So your evaluation questions, as I mentioned, these are the key, the big, broad evaluation questions are critical. They're going to help you focus your evaluation and guide what you're going to collect for data, which we'll talk about next week. So who do you go to? What do you use? You can ask people. You can use records. There's lots of ways to get information. So once you identify your key evaluation questions, you can decide what type of information will help you answer those questions. So Deanne said, I'm going to go ask people who play there, but my suggestion is maybe you look at what national standards are. So two different ways to get information about something. So you have to look at what type of information will help you answer the question, where you get it from, how you get it, how you make sense of it, and how to apply it. So that's why I said to Deanne, like, if you're not planning on, you know, meeting everybody's wants in a facility, then there's not a lot of point in collecting that information. So you have to decide the purpose behind it, coming back to the purpose. So slide 27 talks about indicators. And I've done evaluations a long time, and I still hate this word indicators. I get bogged down in it. But it's important for you to understand, because you're going to see it if you're applying for things like federal funding or anything like that. So you might get asked for it, so it's important to understand what an indicator is. And the easiest way to understand an indicator is it's a specific piece of information, like how many people participated. That is an indicator. And we can use that to answer your evaluation question. Sometimes you might see the word measures instead of indicators. And it really means the same sort of thing, because it helps us measure or track things. And slide 27 shows an example where an indicator is like the number of people registered in a program, or changes in physical activity levels, or the socioeconomic status of people who come to your program, or the frequency with which your programs are used. So I want you guys just to think about for a minute, a type of indicator or a type of information that can help you answer your evaluation question. So we're going to have to do a fairly quick go around. Stephanie, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you can't think of anything, that's okay. Everybody else can jump in. But what is an indicator that might help you answer your question? So the question that we said is, what are the priority programs? What is one way you can find out what those priority programs are?
This will be quick and easy. The programs that people call ahead and say, hey, are you going to be still doing that next week? Or, hey, you know what? And then it's like two people call me and say, is crib night still continued next week? Are we doing it next month? You did it for last month, and my friend wants to come along. Is this still going to happen? So that's a good indicator to me.
Yeah, so the amount of interest expressed in a program, you can have a little chart right beside your phone at your desk that just tracks the phone calls that you get and what people are asking for. That would be a so that's one indicator is interest, amount of interest in specific programs, and really easy to track that over 2 months, for example, if you wanted to. Awesome, thank you. Peter, what's one indicator that you think you could use or would come up with to, you know, if your question is about what does quality look like in the Real Leader program, what's an indicator?
Well, because we get funding from, I think, minutes of physical activity. Would that be a good indicator?
Yep, because that's a priority of the program, so minutes of physical activity for sure. The other thing that RPA's tried to use as an indicator in the past is number of rural communities participating in the program. Because if you only have one or two, we had some years where it was just Barrow and Haines Junction. To me, that's not a quality program if it's supposed to target rural Yukon. So that would be another one as well. So good. Awesome. Deanne, what's an indicator that you might pull out? You know, you're looking at, are the courts at a standard to offer a national event? What could be an indicator?
I can't think of anything right now, actually. Maybe the feedback form of, like, the interest of the people. That's the one thing we can look into. And, like, the complaints, like, you know, what are the complaints we are having regarding the course, the facility. So that could be the indicator or information can help answer the issue process.
Yeah. And it could also just be the difference between what the national standards are for courts and what your courts are at. So if the standard is 90 degrees and you have some that are 86 degrees, that's a difference. Like how many design factors are not meeting the requirements? So the indicator could be design aspects or design factors or something like that. Awesome. David, what's one indicator for you that you might be able to pull out to answer that sort of question about the overall delivery of your snowshoe program?
One that we're using currently is how likely is it you would recommend this program to a friend or colleague?
Okay, so that's a question in a tool, right? So a bigger one, if you want to take it bigger, is kind of like you could just refer growth of the program, for example. So you could do program growth over, you know, the percentage increase of growth or how much the program's grown over 2 years. You know, we started off with 10 core participants, and because everybody said it was so great, they all brought another 3 people each. Now we have 40 people coming. So,
If I know we're right at the line. This is, I just want to ask a quick question, and that's why I chose this one. This seems to be a question, the MPS, that Alex is utilizing as a main measure of success. And I'm just wondering how, because I don't hear you using the same terminology that he's using. So I'm wondering if we are on the right track.
Can you hold on afterwards? Because the only familiarity I have with Elder Active is through the Yukon Northern Wellness Evaluation Plan.
Sure.
And
what
you're saying isn't ringing a bell for me, so I just wouldn't mind chatting. So if you have a few minutes after, we can do that.
I do. Sure.
Awesome. So indicators are, I find that they're tricky and that they can be challenging, but sometimes it's because I'm overthinking it. So what you want to try and keep in mind that an indicator is just like a bite-sized piece of information to either prove or disprove or help you answer a question. So that's what an indicator is. Some of the things that are really standard indicators are things like the number of participants in a specific demographic. So how many families come out? How many people of low income are participating? Those are sort of basic standard ones, but you can make it the more complicated. It can be satisfaction with a program could be an indicator. So take the time, changes in behavior, like increases in physical activity is also an indicator. So take the time to really look at that and think through it. And then just to wrap up, once you've got to your indicators, the next step in planning an evaluation is to figure out how you're going to collect that information. And we're going to get into that a little bit more next week, but because the slides are in this week, I just wanted to point out a couple of things to you. So slide 28 points out that most evaluations use more than one tool or source. So if your evaluation is only relying on feedback forms for participants, it's probably not robust or it's probably not giving you enough information. So you want to combine a bunch of different ways of looking at what it is that you're looking at. It also helps to understand different types of data. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with the terms on slide 29. Quantitative data is like the number of people, the amount of your budget, the cost, right? How many phone calls you get. Qualitative data is what is it that make people happy? What is it that make them come back again? What are we, you know, how are we reaching people that's working, that type of thing. And you can also use mixed methods in an evaluation. You don't have to just be pure qualitative or quantitative. For the purposes of reporting, I find reporting is mostly quantitative. They don't tend to ask a lot of qualitative questions. But qualitative is where you're going to get more, like, richer information to help you make good decisions. It's good to know what type of data you need, but it's also really important to know where to get it. So slide 30, and I've alluded to this through this call, so I'm just about ready to wrap up, but I just wanted to point this out. There's two main sources of data. One is paperwork, and one is people. So paperwork are like the records you keep from your program, you know, outside sources and things like that. People is what people are telling you, sharing you. Feedback forms, although you collect it on a piece of paper, is from people. So try and keep in mind that there's you want to use multiple sources and multiple types of information, not just one source. So once you've identified you would then get into the tools, which are shown on slide 31. And as I mentioned, we'll look at this a little bit more next week. And then once you've chosen your tools, you get into actually collecting and analyzing your data, which we'll cover in week 4. So I just want you to think of this as I leave you, one last thought to leave you with today. So an evaluation can help a program improve its services, but it can also help ensure that the program is delivering the right services. So David, you alluded to that when you said the diversity in your program and meeting different needs and stuff. So, you know, you might have the right program and you might be able to improve what you're doing, but is it the right services? So do you need to add, you know, social time in before the program? Do you need to reach people in a different way? So think about that. So this week you're asked to do the first half, part A, of an evaluation plan. So you started, all the ideas you shared today are really good ideas. You should be able to use those in your evaluation plan. Don't worry about getting it right or wrong, but please try and do it on time because I want you to be able to give you feedback so you can use it for part B because you might need to make some changes and revisions. So if you find that you're falling too far behind in this, let me know and we'll come up with a slightly different plan. But to get my feedback, I need you guys to sort of stay on top of the timing of this learning event. So don't start part B, which is week three RLA, until you get my feedback from this week's RLA. Last tip for the week is keep your evaluation plan simple. Aim for 2 key questions at the most. Maybe 3, but only if it's a really big evaluation. So these RLAs that you're doing are designed to help you learn the process of evaluation planning, which is why I don't want you to make it too big. So try and keep it reasonable. So that's about it. My apologies for going 7 minutes over, but I think that that was a really great conversation today. Hopefully you all had a chance to learn a little bit from listening to each other's. And stay on the call after I stop the recording if you have any questions. If you do have questions, you know where to reach me. I've got a crazy busy next 5 days coming up, so if I don't get back to you within 24 hours, it'll be closer to 2 to 3 days just because I've got a bunch of stuff going on over the next little bit. So just know that I'm not ignoring you if I don't get back to you within a 24-hour time frame. So thanks a lot for joining today, and I'll just wrap up the recording, and I will stay on the line for any questions. Take care. Hope you all feel better soon.